Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Chaitanya Upanayanam, Dhyana Sutras, page 38, Sutra 1132. The components of inference, avayava, are the solemn declaration of the purpose of the thesis, pratigya, the statement of reason, hetu, the examples or analogies given through various facts to substantiate the reasons, udaharana, bringing near for understanding, upanaya, and the conclusion and authoritative quotations from the scriptural, Vedic scriptures, nigama.
See, that list would have clarified a few things.
Too. Well, this is Gautama. That's why Prabhupada always quotes Gautama.
Right. Yeah, in his quote in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the second where Srila Prabhupada brings this out, it's exactly that. But the end, instead of conclusion, he focuses more on the backbite shastra. And so that's where sometimes people just thought, oh no, you don't have to give a conclusion, you just have to.
No, you have to have a conclusion. Yeah. It's about the. See, because these five, just as everything else, these are principles.
Yeah.
And so this is a natural form to use, but it's not that. It's the maintaining the form makes it the avayava. But these five are here because these are how they work together. You're going to make a point, so a point has to be made. If you don't have a point to make, then there shouldn't be a discussion.
Yeah.
This is what we see is the vitundi. They don't have a point to make. They're just there to argue. They just like to argue. You know, they like to argue. They don't like what others say. The point is just destroy what other people say, and that makes them happy. So, since they don't have they shouldn't be talking. You can't say what your statement is. You know, so what is it? And then they'll go on with this and that and all. So they can't say a statement. It's just their feelings and this and that and this happened. And, you know, that's not a statement. Statement, the pratigya means this is what you understand and what you're committed to. You know, that's the thing. Then the statement of reason, the hetu, means what then substantiates that in explanation. In other words, you logically explain it and show how it works. Right? Then the examples or, you know, or analogies, they're there to support the reason by making it clear what you're trying to say through something that's common to the person. In other words, you have to bring your thesis and purpose to them so that they catch it, and then from there bring them.
That's where the pratyaksha comes in, because they experience it in another realm. And
yes.
And the upanaya is to show how the thing that they experience in their realm is also applied to the thing they're trying to prove.
Yes, yes. So that's why you see there's all these seemingly different definitions, because they're bringing out different aspects of the same thing. Because then here, bringing near for understanding means you're using the similarity or the comparison. You know, so like this example, okay, I understand that. So like that, then Krishna is... Yeah, so that's the drishtanta. So you see the whole thing, you're trying to establish the drishtanta, but it's to establish the thesis. Mm-hmm. So there's a conclusion. Right? And that conclusion then has to be based on scripture. So that's the point, is that shabda has to be the basis of the whole thing. Anuman and pratyaksha will be used, mm-hmm. but shabda has to be the basis. If it's not the basis, then it's not a proper logical discussion, not at least amongst, not, how you say?
Culture.
Yeah, culture, because this is what came to mind. So not amongst the Aryans. You know, so. Yeah, so it's just, therefore, it's that's how it's done, those who accept the Vedic culture. So the six schools, they'll use this, like that, that's all. Nowadays, is that it means you have your idea that you want to get, but your idea is actually not the conclusion, because the Vedic Siddhanta means what's the actual conclusion. So if someone is fighting for, how you say, ladybug's rights, you know, like that, or, you know, green caterpillar's rights, but actually there's some other purpose behind it. It's not about the caterpillar or the ladybug. It's about some other point. You know, because we say equality, but it's not about everyone being equal, because the people who are pushing it aren't equal. You know, what happened to the lady who, you know, about the, you know, equal rights for the blacks when she got $90 million? What did she do? She just stepped out. You know? Yeah. I don't know how. She at least got the properties, she got at least 15, 16 million. I don't know if she got the rest of it, but whatever it is, she just stepped out. So it's not about equality. It's a platform to be heard and to get benefit. Because you see, otherwise, then they would have had that and then say, now we can do something with the money. But no, there's other issues. So whenever they talk these things, it's not about everyone being equal. It's only about certain people being equal. Right? So if you're above you, they have to be brought down. If they're below you, they have to be brought up. Why don't you go down to their level? You know, so you have these big people that are making...
Just set up for class, sorry.
Huh?
I think I have to set up for class, sorry. I'll be back.
Oh, because he's not here.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so then you know, you see sometimes these very wealthy people or celebrities and they're talking about equality, but are they, you know, selling their house and moving into a studio and, you know, some... you know, low rent area of the city? No, they're just living their lifestyle, talking equality, but they'll never be equal to anyone else, and they won't be equal with them.
And their children will never go to public school.
Yeah, it's not, there's no question, it's just a political platform to, it furthers your career, furthers your position, it's just political statements. It's not actual real philosophy, because that's the point, is the pratikya has to be something that you live. That's what you're committed to. Because to discuss it, you know, means you have to be wanting to know the conclusion, and who you're quoting has to also be optus. That's how they live. So you see, it's this whole modern idea of this debate and rhetoric and all this is completely bogus. It means that in comparison to what's real, what the Vedic says. Because they don't want that. They do not want conclusions. And they don't want it based on Shastra.
So they're never after.
No, because Shastra is not that your theory, Shastra supports it. Your theory is in line with the Shastra. It's different. It's like I have a philosophy. I go through Prabhupada's books, pull out things from purports and verses that support my philosophy. But the rest of the verses I don't comment on or include. So therefore it's my philosophy and it's supported by Shastra.
That's what Shankara did.
Yes, Shankara did that, and you also see the first four schools, they do that.
Yeah.
Like that. But they're more trying to bring it in line with scripture, but at the same time, so I'm talking the it's used sometimes. You know, Prabhupada says, hear this, then you quote another one that goes against that. Oh no, but we have to be practical. So why is it their one is, you know, you have to follow that, but the other ones you don't? You know, so it's not. So here is a conclusion and authoritative quotation, because that's the point, it's the conclusion and then the support. So that's the point. Because when you make the first statement, you don't necessarily have to give all the Shastric aspects, because people won't understand it. Even if you say it, they won't understand, so you have to explain it. Then you can give. But it's not that you can't quote in between. It's just that here it should be wrapped together.
You're just talking about it, actually. It's all... Pramanas are inside this
Yes.
You could start by Shabda without telling them that it's Shabda. You could just use, but you know, present the theology.
Yes.
Then use Ammana again to substantiate Shabda.
Yes.
And then use Pratyaksha because this is the example they saw in the life.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then use against logic.
There's got a comparison. Yeah. Comparison is the first one. So similarly,
yeah.
You know, thus, and then they begin back to Shabda.
Sure.
So you start with Shabda, end with Shabda. But they're not starting like that. They're starting with some political position and then trying to use scripture to support it. So in other words, scripture gets used in the middle example and this and that or this. So it's all out of how you say, kilter, out of whack, out of line. It's not much.
So this Upanaya could be also your own realizations. Well, when you apply the knowledge in your life, what kind of realizations you got?
Yeah. Like that, I would say it would be a little bit more that you would use in examples. You can bring it in there. Anything, the point is that the third and fourth are to bring about the drishtanta.
Yes.
Drishtanta means the understanding that you see from the same perspective. So the point is the declaration means if I say something and you understand it, I don't have to go through the other four. Right? If I say, you know, Krishna is Supreme Personality of God, I don't have to now use the avayavas to establish that because it's accepted.
Just Krishna says surrender to me right now.
So you don't need to explain it. But then if something comes up, well, how does that, so then I have to give reasons. You know, and if that doesn't work, then I go to the next one. And I go, you know, but generally if the first two haven't done it, then you're going to need to use the rest. Does that make sense? So they're tools to use, but at the same time they're based on the principles that you're establishing something based on Shastra that should be practically understood and applied by the individual. So then the process that the individual understands and appreciates it, that's then what the avyayas are for. You know, so the Panchayamnaya, that's what it does.
Yeah. I just heard recently one devotee, really smart, he won an argument with the opposition. They were quoting some obscure book and making very strong points. And everybody was kind of, you know, agreeing to that because they kept, you know, saying it. But that devotee, he's really clever. He just continued reading. And then in continuation of that scripture, he found what opposes their pratigya. And then he said, so what about this statement? So they had nothing to say because they were saying this is the most important, this is what should be done, this, that, and then he said, okay, this is you quoting this, I've never heard it, but now I've read it. Mm-hmm. So this is right, your statement is okay, but what about the later statement? You have to accept that also, because you are so adamant on it. It was really funny.
That's the one aspect of we'll get into that after this. The next will be the Mimamsa, in which is saying that every word has meaning, the connections between words, the connections between the sentences, the connection between the shlokas, connection between that and the rest of the chapter. So that's what they weren't doing. They were taking the one shloka, taking the part they wanted, but not seeing the context and the flow of the chapter. Yeah. And then that chapter in the book, and how that book then, you know, with other scriptures. Mm. So, you know, that's what happens, is they're not actually following, you know, that's not proper mm-hmm. hermeneutics. You know, yeah. The monks is wrong, hermeneutics are wrong, so they're interpreting this, you know, based on a fallacy. They're taking it out on its own, and then, you know.
And also, I think the problem is sometimes devotees, they present like a very cheap version of Shastra, of Shabda, because devotees, they don't read, they don't study.
Yeah.
So they become like, especially on social media, they become like the prophets, you know. So this is what Shastra says, and they put something very, very short, and they explain it in a very simplistic way. So that's what it is. You don't need to study Prabhupada's books, I told you, that's what it is. So. Gaudi.
Kahil Gibran. Or Gibran.
Gibran.
Huh?
Halil Gibran.
Halil?
Gibran.
Gibran. Okay. His book's the prophet.
I don't know if he's prophet or not, but he's super popular on there. On Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Many devotees follow him.
Yeah, who is this guy?
I don't know.
I read it, but I was 14 when I went to Israel. I read it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think when I was in the dispensary, I got dysentery, and so then they stuck me in the dispensary for a few days. So I read the book.
Oh.
Yeah. What you're saying, it's very shallow. It's very shallow, the argument, and also it's out of context.
Mm-hmm. Just out of context, you know how many times we quote good fences meet good neighbors?
Yeah.
You know, as just like a point of wisdom. Someone was telling me that the actual poem or the actual work that was there, he was actually being sarcastic. He was drawing how people, you know, don't get along and and that. And so at the end, he was throwing out as an ironic, sarcastic remark. So just like good fences make good neighbors. So, you know, then they think, oh, yeah, everyone's good neighbors. But actually, he was saying exactly the opposite.
Oh, Krishna.
But it gets quoted completely out of context. Is that the words make sense. You know, they sound nice and all that. But, you know, it's only when people can't get along that you have a nice fence and they don't bother each other. But actually, he was pointing out, why can't they get along? Why do they, you know...
Why do you need those?
Yeah, why do you need that big fence? But it's, you know, it's like you're saying, it's just out of context.
Yeah. Because to build a context, it takes a lot of time.
That's the other guy.
Yeah. Like with the students or anybody, you know, to understand how the person thinks and how the flow goes and... But otherwise, like you're saying, it's completely opposite. It's the idea of the author completely lost or turned upside down.
Yeah. Just use for yourself. It resonates what you think,
yeah.
So you use that. And that's why also then the means you're trained in it if you go to the modern academy, that you know you have a bibliography like 500 entries. You know, so you know. They have to be from quite a wide range. It means one book or one author, you might have a few if the has a lot, but otherwise one from here, one from there. So you might be, you know, 200-300 sources. And then that's considered, now you have a good, you know, but the point is the context of all those, so you put it together in your own. So, you know, it's just your own theory, rather than you understand what's going on and you see it in that kind of form.
If you think that you understand, you're not an academic, then it's disqualified because you reach conclusion. So you should not think that.
Yeah, should not.
Maharaj, I usually use the same strategy in the preaching in the universities and through our KGB members. I also took some sentences from different books and presented them Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, no, we can do that because we already have a conclusion, so it works perfectly. What I'm saying is they do that, they don't know what they're talking about. We already start with the Siddhanta, then we pick out, you know, like Prabhupada will many times quote from karmic guys that are, you know, somewhat well-known or at least in a profession that's well-known, and he'll quote them, and they say very solid things. Like, he always talks about that one economist, and it seems to be a lot of modern economy principles are based on this guy. And his point was that until someone's attached materially, they don't work. They won't make money. So the economy can't work on people who are unattached. So you have to make them, you know, in other words, you have to ensure that people are attached. You have to
create the demand.
Yeah, create the demand, create the environment, the need that you want like this and stuff like that. Then they buy. And so Prabhupada will quote that, because that's why the material world goes on because of this. But as soon as you aren't attached, you're like that, then what do you need? You know? So it's so you can do that. That's quite nice, especially when you use it on men. You go through and pick out all their, you know, especially ones that they are familiar with and they use in their own way, that you put it into another context and then, you know, give the, you know, the explanation how it develops, and then use their quote actually against them. So it's always good fun if you can do that.
So that's the one that
was good at that. Yeah, yeah. You know, so yeah, no, it's a good thing. What I'm saying is that they do hundreds of quotes, but there's no real conclusion. They just have a kind of a flow of thesis. They kind of put it together in some, you know, interesting way that shows that some intelligence was used, and so therefore then that's good enough. But here is that, no, it's about it has to have substance, which means the scriptures. So on the outside of the Vedic, you can't really have anything solid. Because even if you have it, let's say they do have some realization of something by observing and that, or, you know, some kind of revelation of that, but it won't last because it's not taken as solid. In the Christians, the Old Testament, it's there, but it's more of a historical, but it's not important to them. You know, if the statements of the Old Testament don't match the what they're presenting in the New, it's not used. If it supports them, they'll say, see, like that. You know, something, you know, like that. So it's just like that. Otherwise, they do their own thing, and they even take out their own stuff, you know. I mentioned before is that he was very high up in the, he was a professor, I think, in comparative religion. But he was a, you know, a very main member of the Lutheran Church, and worked, you know, in a government position to, and in the Lutheran Church, they were very high up in the church and the administration, not as what do you call it, as the priest. But he was, you know, he was. Sorry.
This was.
Somebody recently, this wasn't back then. And so he knew the stuff very well, but he wasn't a theologian, because he used to come with a theologian, who's also, they were friends, and they were also PhDs, and then they worked at that level. But the theologian knew, he knew more. So when he talked the technical philosophy, the theologian would catch it. But the other one, who was, I think he might have even been a priest, but he was an academic who did that, so he was kind of an academic first. But he was saying in one conversation we were discussing about, you know, about this thing of the Shastra and that, you know, it has to stay and things like that, that he remembers seeing, like, sometime before he saw it, a book called, big, he said it was as big as the Bible now. Whatever's the New Testament now, you know, St. James or whichever one, or King James or whichever one he used, it was the same size. And what it was documenting all the parts of the New Testament that were removed, you know, over the various, what were those called?
Councils.
Yeah, those councils. What was removed. And it was as much as what is there now. Because he was saying, because it didn't, it was either, they removed anything that showed he was too, that he was exactly God, or that he was not God.
So it's political positions.
Yeah. So it was whatever supported what was going on. Because it's like, Christ is God, but you can't say he is God, there is no God, and he's the God. If it goes too far that way, then it'll throw it out. And if it's no, he's servant of God, or something, you know, then they'll throw that out. And he says it was very far out, obviously.
Because they say he has two natures, human and divine. Both. It must be there, so if you go on one of these extremes, then...
Yeah.
Not good.
Because king, or because leader of this council was a king, imperial, Constantine. And he even wasn't a Christian, because he didn't accept Christianity, but he was the main who decided which parts we should...
Okay.
And about a year after this concert, he very cruelly killed his own wife. Means his moral level was not, he burned her.
His moral compass did not point north.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is the same.
Yeah, no, but what if you must claim?
He's the same.
Then he surrendered.
That was constant.
So therefore, the thing to learn is if you're going to get rid of somebody, do it before you surrender. Then you can be a saint.
Or maybe his wife was the devil. We don't know.
Either that or it was just put on, and actually his wife was, you know, went out and did something else.
The emperors of the Eastern Empire, that were apparently, they call this monophysic, they accept only the divine nature of Christ. He's completely divine. And then after their reign is over, the new emperor, well, he would come, he would clean up all the all this, and then he would establish again the Orthodox doctrine. Both natures are there. So he's going back and forth for centuries.
Try.
I think it's like with us. One group claims that he is impersonal Brahman. The other group claims that no, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's this kind of same.
Yeah.
It's the same game. And sometimes one, you know, like, gets the support of the government, so they are strong, you know, the Mayavadis, and sometimes Vaishnavas are like that, so Mayavadis just hiding away until the time comes.
Yeah, yeah.
One of Sufi, same Sufi, his name is Jamil, he gave interesting explanation of this point. He said that more loudly claims that only his teacher is the perfect, and other no, those disciples who completely don't follow to his instructions. And that's why in Christianity, when they stopped to follow to the instructions of Jesus Christ, they claim he is a God, because now he has a divine nature, and because he is God, he can save them without following.
Without following. Oh, okay. No, that's interesting. I mean, it's clever. Because that's all you have to do is just accept and have faith, and then everything happens.
It's kind of like
that's the way it worked in Ben-Hur, right? You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
But nowadays also we have some, it's very often happen when if someone has, for example,
Diabetes.
Okay.
And he should strictly follow to some restrictions. He usually try to find some doctor who is a completely outstanding in his sphere, and who can give him mystical treatment without following to the restrictions. And then he usually claims that it's the best. He has a something.
Yeah.
Same in religion also.
Yeah, I mean, you have fire against fire, right? So then eat so much sugar that the diabetes can't function.
The problem is that you can't function, but that's a side effect.
You want to get rid of the diabetes, then you just eat so much sugar that...
The diabetes dies with you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You see, we got rid of the diabetes.
Osho already did that, Rajneesh.
Send this stuff.
I think in Mahabharata, one of the instructions that Yudhishthira Maharaj got, and usually leaders, they go to Brahmana, but they choose
one,
whoever's going to support them, and then they come out from, yeah, happy, no problem, but what about everybody else?
Yeah.
We don't counsel them. They don't know. So it's a human nature, but it's considered the fault for the leader. He has to hear from everybody,
right.
Not only those who support his ideas. And he already knows that they're going to support him, so he just goes to them and say, look, this is Brahmana, this is not me.
And that's why you have the, the very straightforward, practical, the process called lobbying. Yes, you lobby before, and so that you find out and get enough people that like what you say or you find, then you can say, then with confidence, yeah, see.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.